Welcome to this episode of Coffee with Source. My guest today is Sass. She is an energy alignment method mentor, and so many other interesting modalities are incorporated in her day-to-day mentorship practice. Whatever it is, we'll have her explain what she does because she knows best. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. I'm really, really grateful that you invited me on.
I'm grateful that you're here as well. I love that the message that you responded to. I had a good laugh. I could talk about energy healing and alignment for hours, and that's true for me as well. It's so fascinating.
Brilliant. Yeah, it is, because it is fascinating. And I think it's something that when people wake up to it, they just can't get enough of it. When it starts to come in for them and they open their you know, all of their eyes, not just their physical eyes, and welcome it in. It's so interesting. Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's a switch that once it's turned on, you can't turn it off.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And so for our listeners, what is the energy alignment method?
Okay, I'm really glad you asked that, because people need to know that it does what it says on the tin, in that as a mentor, I walk with somebody through their energy and use their actual own energy biofeedback to get real answers to the questions that go beyond the conscious mind. So we all think we know what's wrong with us, what's holding us back. We think we can remember the events and the traumas that happened to us in our childhood and going through school and in past relationships. We don't know anybody who's gone through life being completely untouched by these things. But what we don't often realize is that the resistances that are showing up in our energy, because as you know, energy can only be in one of three states. It can be in flow, it can be in resistance, or it can be in reversal. So obviously flow is the beautiful harmony that we're all aiming for. The other two, not so good. So we want to locate the resistances and the reversals and realign them. We want to release them and get rid of them. But if you don't know what they are, you can't really go deep enough on an energetic level to really, really clear them.
So, I love that. And it's true. Yeah, I say it all the time. You can't heal what you don't understand.
Exactly. So the energy alignment method, or EAM for short, goes deep. It goes into places where you would never think of looking, because we follow the energy and we don't bring a kind of prescriptive blueprint of everybody needs to heal X, Y, and Z. We don't do that. We follow that particular person's energy all the time, using a method from applied kinesiology known as the sway, where our body actually goes backwards and forwards in response to particular questions and tells us what is really going on. And that's what we work on. Yeah.
So for, you know, our listeners, being in flow, we know what that looks like, being in resistance, which many of us are, but what is reversal? What would that look like if I was someone whose energy was in reversal?
That's a really good question. Again, it's actually quite self-explanatory. So you know that anytime you're in resistance about something, it's anytime you don't feel as though you're making progress, or it is literally like resistance. You can feel as though you're walking through soup on a particular topic and you're really pushing and pushing against it. Well, reversal is just a very extreme form of resistance that may have built up over a longer period of time, or it may be a greater trauma, or it may be a generational thing, a pattern that's repeating until it builds up almost its own sort of energy body. And it really is taking you backwards. It's pushing you into reverse. You're making
that, we would say, you know, when we all know that one person, that one family member, that one particular person that we know, that we say, oh, they're so stuck in the past.
Yeah. That's a classic way to describe it. Obviously, there are many shades of it, but that is absolutely a really good way to describe it, where they literally of going, you know, over and over and over what's already happened. They're literally hanging there, cannot move on, cannot project into the future with any kind of positivity. You've got it dead right.
I love it. So you also mentioned that you're able to channel source and get little movie trailers of little snippets. Does source ever share with you what the ultimate goal is for humanity? Is our objective to constantly and continuously be in flow?
Yeah. Yeah, I get a lot of things that could be exactly described as that. And one of the biggest things that's been coming through recently is that we're not broken, you know, so we don't need that fixing thing. However, we do need to embrace, for want of a better word, how we used to be. And how we used to, I'm really not suggesting that we all go and live in caves again. Let's face it, we'd find it really hard to give up the hot and cold running water and the central heating. But the way we related to each other, the way we knew about our connection, and it ran deeper and we embraced it. And also it was about how we played out our roles between each other and how we played to our strengths, whatever they were. And there was none of this kind of, you know, I'm a man, you're a woman, therefore stereotypes. It was, we all worked in harmony, and people who had certain strengths to support or help certain people in a certain way, they were honored and respected for that. And it was a thing that was valued. To be in service to people was a thing that was valued, which I think we've lost an awful lot of that in today's sort of cutthroat world, if I can say it like that. But that's what's been coming through. They've been showing me that love is the way forward. We all have a role. We all have a place. And if we stop trying to fulfill somebody else's ideology of what we should be and how we should be showing up, if we start to be really, really true to ourselves, and accepting each other for whatever shape that be, we could all live much happier lives.
I love that. Stepping out of competition and into connection. Yeah. Yeah. Meaningful connection.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, you know, we're not broken is the message that comes through from source.
Yeah.
But also we seem to seek for external validation and help a lot, especially on our healing journeys. And although I believe that I'm a facilitator of healing and not a fixer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that people like you and I are put on this earth to be the nudgers and the facilitators?
Yes.
Of that healing? But ultimately our role is to point people back inwards.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have put it better myself. That's exactly what we're here for. And I think that when you say things like, we're not broken, we don't need fixing, people go, but look at my life. You know, it's like, I get it. I do. I get it. And I think in a way, we're almost tied by the limitations of language when we say, you're not broken, you don't need fixing, when that is exactly how people do feel. They do feel broken. Yeah,
I see it more as, you know, we're a little stray puppy that got off the path. Yeah. And so we need a gentle nudge to come back on the path.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it is to help people, because let's face it, when you feel in that place, you do shut off and you become, you know, smaller in your thinking in a way. And so for me, I think it's a case of showing people what's possible, giving them ideas, inspiration. Hey, have you thought about this? Oh no, I've just been too worried for so long. Hey, but what about this? And just slowly getting them to sort of raise their heads and look outside for a little while before they feel comfortable enough looking back in, you know.
I love it. It's difficult for many people to see or ask themselves what else is possible when they've been stuck in a rut. Or I love how you said the soup, the day-to-day soup. I always say the quicksand, you know, we get stuck and then we're trying to wedge ourselves out. But Why do you think it is that over time, and I don't know if it's centuries or how long it's been, but when did we start living such individual lives and really dismiss our connection to the higher power?
I think it would be really difficult to try and put a finger on it happened here. I think it's been so gradual, and it's been perpetuated by people who, you know, really literally down throughout the centuries, who've had quite a misguided view of what power means. Mm. They think power is power over somebody, dominion over somebody or something, and it's got to be my way. And I think that has really led to and fed this separation and the hierarchy, if you like, where power is something that everybody has within them. And we gave away our power to these people who tried to convince us that we didn't know anything, we weren't capable of anything, we weren't, you know, worthy of holding the knowledge that, let's face it, is our birthright, is to know how worthy we are and to know why we're here on this planet, and you know what we're here to do. But it's been.
But what did they know? There's no way that, you know, the people or whoever it is in power that decided to take away ours did so because they didn't realize how powerful human beings are.
They've tried to convince us that we're not powerful, but we are. We absolutely are. And it's they've done a really good job, let's face it, for quite a long time. But we are waking up as a planet. Our consciousness is rising. And it was inevitable that it would happen because the universe doesn't want to be like this. And it has been pushing and pushing. And there have always been people who've, you know, been those quiet little voices in the wilderness, but those voices are getting louder and they're getting more numerous, and they are doing it with love, which will always, always overcome fear and doubt and pain and all of those resistant words.
I love it. So once we're able to get into energetic alignment, be in flow, what else is possible for us? We touched a little bit about quantum leaping, healing, quantum jumping.
Yeah. I'm really glad you said that, because that is absolutely where we go. When we start to realize what is possible, that is absolutely when we enter the quantum field. And this is quantum science. Absolutely, all of our molecules that are vibrating that make up you and me and the cars and you know, they're all just molecules that are vibrating.
Subatomic
particles. but they exist in the moment of now, and on the cusp of, okay, what do you want us to do next? And it is conscious intention that creates what happens next. So if we're constantly creating from what's always gone before, what's always been, we are out of the realm of possibility. If we can get ourselves to that magical, curious state of mind where we say, okay, what is possible?
It is. I love that. It's my favorite question. Yeah. It's difficult for many people to imagine, because most of what we live and experience or relive is based on a memory. Right. Yeah. I read a book recently, Zero Limits, and they talk about you're either living from memory or you're in the inspired state, which is your direct connection to source, which is in the moment of now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
But when you say we enter the quantum field, I want to go back a little bit, you know, now that we're in flow, are we going it just somewhere different? Is that a state of mind? How do we enter the quantum field? Is it a physical thing? Is it a mental thing?
For me, it's more of a spiritual thing. It's anybody can be in that state of being in the quantum field at any time, but it's how we behave when we're there. And it's a conscious thing. We have to say, okay, I want to be there. So it is a state of going into either, you know, some people can get there like that, but they've practiced it. If you want to get there but you don't know how, meditation is the way to go there. It's a state of letting go of everything that you know, everything that you base your reality on. You know, I do this because my mom's always done it, my dad's always done it, my teacher told me to do it. Yes, so all of those things, you really do let all of those impositions go, everything that's been imposed on you to this point, you quietly let them go. Just surrender, just let it go. Stop thinking about, I know that this happens because it's always happened, and you just find a peace. And for me, it is a real connection to source. And it literally is about what's possible. And it's almost hard to explain without, you know, being there, because once you get there, that it does change you, and you do, if you like, become a different person who has accepted that you can make anything happen. You can create anything if you have the intention. Because let's think about it. If you have the intention to do something, what do? The next thing you do is you put one foot in front of the other to get you there. That's your intention. I intend. And that's where we work in the quantum field. It's about conscious intention. Mm-hmm. And that intention can be, as you said, based on what you've already got and what you already know. So that's what you'll always get. Or you can base it on, I'm going to see changes in front of me. I'm going to create changes in front of me. I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to behave differently. I'm going to embrace different ideas and thoughts. And that's how you move forward into the quantum field.
What does it look like in the quantum field?
It doesn't look like anything. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. And you do kind of lose that physical sense of your physical self. So you can no longer feel, you know, how big you are or how small you are, or you no longer feel the air around your body with the seat that you're sitting in, the clothes that you're wearing, because you really have to let all of that go. You have to let go of what you're going to have for dinner, what the meetings you've got to go to tomorrow. You have to kind of suspend everything. So it doesn't look like anything. It feels like complete freedom, complete connection to source. That is absolutely what it is. And when you get there and you're open to it, for me, that's how my channeling of source comes through, my little videos that I explained to you earlier, that how I get, you know, my knowledge about the things that I know, that's when they come in, when you're in that feeling of nothing. It's a feeling of nothing that is somehow everything. I suppose that's the best way I could describe it. When you let go of everything physical and accept, you know, the great possibility, it feels more than.
So how do you navigate, you know, this current reality and going into the quantum field? Do you go into the quantum field to create?
Yeah. Yeah.
To reposition, to course correct, and then you're able to come back to this reality?
Yeah, yeah. This reality, obviously we exist in this 3D world, you know, with the reality of, you know, when I walk on the ground, and when I get in my car, I drive the car on tarmac roads, and, you know, when I wear clothes, there they are physically, I can hold them up. But when you start to play a little bit more in the quantum world, these things start to mean differently to you. It's hard to explain. For instance, it's okay, I have a car, but to me it gets me from A to B. It takes me from this place here to that place there, so that when I get to that place there, I can meet new people and I can have new experiences and I can have joy in meeting those people. My car is not there to say to somebody else, I'm better than you because I have this kind of car. Can you see the shift? Yeah. So that's what having a car means to me. And I'm just using that as an example. So the things that I have in my 3D world, and don't get me wrong, I've got beautiful things and I love my beautiful life and my beautiful things, but they mean different things once you start playing in the quantum field. For instance, you know, if I'm buying a gift for somebody, I don't ever, ever buy something that's been mass produced with no love and no thought into it, that I don't know the provenance of it. I don't know who's had a hand in making that. And maybe I don't really want to know, because it might not, you know, actually be quite nice. So I actively seek out people who make things from the heart. They make things with their hands, the artisans, craft people, makers, and that means more to me. So yeah, I'm dealing in the physical 3D world, and I will go to that person and I will give that person money as an energetic exchange for the work that they've done. And then I will then in turn give that thing to another person. And it carries with it the energy of the love of the maker and the love that I extended to that maker to go and seek it out. And then the love that I'm giving to that person, and it carries all of that energy with it. So that's how I navigate, you know, the material three-dimensional world differently through
intentionality.
Yeah.
I love it. And is this a lifestyle you've always chosen, or how did this come to be? And how is your life different now versus living with less?
The thing about always seeking out beautiful things that have been made with love has always been a thing for me, because I am that kind of person myself. I have another life as a textile artist, and it's important to me to embody that. I wasn't always like this. I did, I did buy into that lifestyle of status and, competing and trying to prove, but it didn't work. And, hands up, no secret. I had a breakdown where everything fell away and I put myself back together piece by piece by piece, and made sure that every single brick that I put back into making myself whole again was a brick of love, of worthiness, of the authentic me. I got back in touch with who I was meant to be.
I love that. And isn't that part of knowing that you're not in alignment with your higher self, you know, that you need to course correct? Because I feel like we get signs all the time, but we're so stuck in this dimension.
Yeah.
And then, the universe kind of has to pull the rug from under us.
Oh, yeah.
Smack our face a little bit. Get wrapped up so we can say, okay, all of these things are falling away and falling apart. And it's an opportunity for us to rebuild.
Absolutely. You said that beautifully. Thank you.
Many people call it the dark night of the soul.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting, because that speaks to many things in many people. And certainly from my point of view, as you come out of that dark night of the soul and that reawakening, I think it's really important to embrace all parts of you. Yeah, the parts that perhaps we aren't very fond of, can I put it like that? The parts that we don't necessarily want to show to people. And I think it's really important not to suppress them and deny them. I think it's important to know exactly who you are, even the dark side of yourself, to accept and embrace it, but just don't let it have control.
Yeah, I love that. And so what results do your clients or the people that you mentor, what kind of results are they seeing in their lives?
Oh, you name it, because, you can have different sort of coaches. You have a business coach, you have a relationship coach, a life coach. Da, da, da. When you work with your energy, you realize that all of these things are connected. And by going in and getting rid of the things that don't serve you, the generational patterns, like we don't live in the same world that our parents and grandparents and ancestors lived in. We have to negotiate and navigate our own world. So it's about releasing all of those things that don't serve us. It's about releasing the traumas and life events from childhood, school, and so on, so that we don't carry on showing up every day in our world based on our pain. It's about transitioning to, okay, that happened. I'm not denying that happened, but I'm not going to use that to define me. I'm not the person who.
That's not my story.
Exactly. it happened, and in no way do I ever encourage people to ever diminish anything that happened to them, but to absolutely know that what happens to you is not you. It doesn't define you. It doesn't make you who you are. You get to decide who you are, how you show up, and how you shine.
What about the school of thought that says that we actually chose this life and we chose these lessons and, you know, we negotiated this soul contract? And, you know, I saw this funny video and I thought that was probably me, where, you know, the spirit guide and the mentors, the spiritual mentors up there are negotiating with the soul, and the soul is saying, I want to experience this and this and this and this. And they're going, that's a lot for one life. And then the soul is saying, no, I want to get it done. I want to get it done. Then we get down here and we forget, and we're like, what is happening? Yeah. Why is all this happening to me? I've had such a hard life. And then the spiritual awakening, and we go, yep, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it is so funny because I have gone through this so many times. And, you know, one thing I will say is I really would like to sit myself down and say, what were you thinking?
Absolutely. Really? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, and I don't like to use the word hard, because hard is, you know, an interesting point of view, but many people find it extremely difficult to say, well, you know, I've experienced so much loss. Yeah. I've been, you know, abused. I've gone through all of these traumas. I've lost a child. How could I have chosen this? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's really interesting because I used to push against the idea that, you know, if I loved myself so much, like all the gurus tell me that I should love myself. If I loved myself so much, why would I choose all of that pain? You know, why would I do that? And it does take a kind of going on that journey and walking through all of that. And again, understanding that they are all there to. And it sounds so cliche and so patronizing to say it's all there to teach you a lesson. It is and it isn't. It's about how you deal with it and still come out the other side, deciding to shine and deciding to love yourself in spite of. And that is quite, as you say, quite hard for a long time and for a lot of people. And it seems trite to just say, keep going. It's like, oh, really? I've had enough of keep going. But honestly, if you do keep coming back to source, coming back to the true you and embracing it, all of those things do fall away. And you do realize that in the end, and this does sound really strange to say, and again, there will be people out there who go, but you haven't experienced what I've experienced. I know I haven't. I've experienced what I've experienced. And believe me, I've got the t-shirts and the badges for the abuse, and the loss and the pain. But I just don't bang that drum all the time. I don't use it to define who I am. So, yeah, I've been through it. And my goodness, I wish I hadn't. You know, if I was standing here now and had to choose that that list again, you're going to be born again. I would not choose to do those things again. So have I learned my lessons? I don't know. Only time will tell. Do I choose to drag them around with me every single day? No, I've decided not to. And through deciding not to, and through deciding to, you know, let them go, acknowledge them and honor what I've been through, but let them go. Don't drag them around in a backpack and get them out every time somebody wants to say hi. Oh, hi, here's my, all the things that are on my backpack. You know, I choose to live in, as I say, in the quantum field. If I meet somebody or they meet me for the first time, it's not about what's gone before. It's, hey, you look like a really beautiful soul. What can we do together from this moment forward?
And I think what I've learned personally is that many of the experiences that I've chosen, all had the same lesson.
Interesting.
But I wasn't able to see it from that point of view until very recently, where it all boiled down to self-worth.
Yeah.
self-worth and self-love. And so yeah. I think that was my lesson in this lifetime, but probably knowing how stubborn and, you know, sporadic of a human I would be, I was probably like, well, give me a little bit of this and then a little bit of this. And then if I'm still deviating, hit me up with a little side order of this and then a nice narcissistic partner. And then,
oh, yeah. You know,
a miscarriage, yeah. And then I'll go through all of these things and then yeah. I'll come back to center. But what it boiled down to and what it boils down to is standing so strong in this conviction yeah. that I am worthy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that we all are worthy. It's our birthright.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You've got that. Absolutely.
To feel like we belong yeah. on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing that, you know, you've walked that path and come to that realization, and you know, I honor and celebrate you for that. I really do. And I hope that you know, your words give inspiration to other people, because you and I are both very ordinary people, you know, and insofar as we are all very, very special. We are, you know, the universe has created a sass shaped hole and Emma shaped hole that only you and I can fill those holes, you know. I'm nothing special. I'm just like everybody else. As I say, I've got those t-shirts and the badges for all of that. But I think that's what gives people like you and I, if you like, the heart to reach out and help other people and to say, it's okay. As I say, you're not broken. You know, here you are. Come and sit with me for a while. Come and let's talk for a while.
What if this was a possibility for you as opposed to, yeah. what if you hadn't been taught that love has to be earned and respect yeah. has to be earned and,
yeah.
you know, that you have to earn your place in this world by going to this school and then getting married and then having children and then working and yeah. indebting yourself just for a little piece of Ooh. This life with the goal yeah. of, you know, the objective is to retire. That's all of our destination. What yeah. what if they have it all wrong? What if you're actually mm-hmm. meant here to just be love and to be joy, yeah. and yeah. to be kind and to yeah. experience things with awe and wonder as yeah. opposed to judgment?
Yeah.
Instead of judging everything that comes up, just look at it from a wonder, you yeah. know, a curiosity, yeah. put a little question mark at the end of everything.
Yeah. That's true. That is so true. And it took me a lot of birthdays to realize that.
I like that.
Yeah, got a lot of those as well to go with them. And I'm not saying that everybody should have as many birthdays as me, but all I'm saying is I wish I'd realized it sooner. And in the beginning, not a lot in my life changed. But what changed was my perspective on things changed. Very quickly, for instance, I was taught by my mother that, you know, cooking a meal for the children was like the most awful, boring thing on the planet. And it was a chore and it was the hideous most. And literally, so I began my motherhood in the same mode as this, because it's what I've been taught and I'd learned how to operate in this way. But when I made the conscious decision to mm-hmm. see it as, I love my family and I love my children.
Have one. Yeah.
Yeah. What greater gift can I give them than decent nutrition?
Yeah.
And an opportunity to
celebrate.
Yeah.
It starts with the I love that you brought that up, because it does start with the mundane tasks. You know, yeah. for me, it was feeling yeah. gratitude for doing the dishes.
Yes.
Well, you know what? There are many dishes to wash because I made a great meal for my family. And if there yeah. were less dishes, it would mean that my boys weren't home anymore and yes. I would be alone. And so I'm grateful for that.
Powerful, powerful. Same yeah.
The laundry, you know, once yeah. I had my existential crisis and wanted to speak to the manager and demanded that I be, you know, hit the reset switch. This is too much.
Yeah. Yeah. But
little nuggets of gratitude kept popping.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
gratitude for laundry, instead of saying, oh, there's yeah. so many dirty clothes and complaining yeah. and feeling yucky yeah. about it. And just saying, wow, how fortunate am I to be healthy enough to be doing yeah. laundry, to be folding yeah. it, to be providing. And it's, yeah. it's not easy.
No.
But once you make the decision, little nuggets of yeah. wisdom pop up like that. When you're yeah. stuck in traffic, the mindset would go to, oh, well, why don't I pop on an audiobook or listen to a podcast?
Yeah. What a great opportunity.
What a great opportunity. And then it began to, oh, I can't wait. I hope there's traffic today because I'll get to finish my book. But some people listening might say that sounds completely crazy, but it starts off with, as you said, little moment of, I'm lucky enough to be providing a nutritious meal for my family. I'm so grateful that I have a car.
And that I have the opportunity to be stuck in traffic. I'm still working on my husband with that one, actually. It's my mission to get him to appreciate the traffic differently. Definitely.
But that's true. And that's something we have to navigate as well, is that we're not always matched up. We didn't always choose partners that were going to make it easy peasy for us.
No.
And, you know, that's something that I continuously remind myself, is that it's not my job to change your mind.
Exactly.
It's my job to show up as myself.
Absolutely.
And sometimes my partner looks at me like I'm a total whack job most of the time. And you know what? I've become okay with that. But we have an expression in French, and the expression is supposed to be positive. It's, you know, meant to describe like, it's meant to be like, this is really big, you know, where I really mean this. But the expression is, this is hell.
Okay.
In our French Quebecois, right? And so he says that all the time. Oh my God, this is hell, or oh, this is hell. And I always say, that's an interesting point of view. Interesting point of view. And then he's like, well, you know, it's just an expression. And I'm like, but you know, your subconscious mind can't differentiate between what is truth and what is sarcastic and what is fiction. What if you tried saying something like, this is heaven? Well, I'd sound crazy, but you might get different results. So it's learning to navigate and saying, okay, my job is not to change this person, but I can tell you, and I'm not sure if it's the same with your husband, when I am sitting in traffic with my partner, I am having a totally different experience. I am sipping on my coffee. I'm noticing little children running by and splashing in the puddles, and I see puppies and I hear birds. He sees traffic and, oh my God, they almost crashed into each other. And did you see that? And and I'm just there in my little world.
It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same for me. You're absolutely right. We are, if you like, having, you know, parallel universe when we get in the car together. It's so bizarre. And I love it. And it's got to the point now, I used to get quite upset about it because it was a little bit of a trigger related to a previous relationship. But when I learned to let all of those traumas and things go, and I realized that, you know, his anger wasn't generated at me and because of me and for me, he's in his own little bubble of anger with the traffic, and you know, where did all these people come from? Haven't they got homes to be in? And not realizing that he is actually part of the problem. But hey ho, there you go.
Don't they love it when you present a solution like, well, we could have ridden bikes. Well, that's so stupid. And just an interesting point of view. But that's a good point, realizing that other people's anger is not directed at us. If we don't allow it, because energy is energy. And even though it's not directed at us, when you're an empath and you're and absorbing other people's energy. And I feel that's where saying that's an interesting point of view really kind of cuts it off, to say like, this energy that comes to you.
You're entitled to your opinion. Just keep it to yourself. It's just my little joke. But you're absolutely right. And I think the thing about, you know, the energy in the room will always come up to the highest vibration. And just by making those little shifts in myself, and just using the, you know, the getting in the car with him as an example, it has altered, you know, how he reacts to the traffic. It really has, just by me maintaining that almost nauseating cheerfulness of not coming to level. It's just like, well, here we are. And you know, even when if he sees an accident that's holding the traffic up and everything's grinds to a halt, I just say, but just be grateful you weren't in the accident.
I say this again. Come on. Let's send them a little prayer. That could be you know, your child or my child or someone's grandmother or someone's mother. So let's just be respectful.
Absolutely.
And that's a great place to be.
Yeah, it is because it strengthens that gratitude muscle, because I think it does need a workout now and again. We can slip back into lazy ways of resenting everything and blaming everything and oh, it's not working out for me. Well, hey, there's a reason why. And just exercising that muscle now and again gives it a workout and you know, gets you back on top. And just, you know, one of the things that I do is I trained myself to spot when I was slipping into those kind of the maelstrom of negativity, which is very easy to do, and we're very good at it. We are actually, you know, world class at this kind of thing. And I actually trained myself to have a go-to in my head, and it's different for everybody, and people can find their own thing. But for me, it's the laughter of my grandchildren. Nothing tops that, and they can laugh at nothing at all, and yeah, I can think, what was happening 5 seconds ago, like what triggered all this hilarity? And it just, you know, it doesn't matter. And if I put that in my head and I superimpose that on my grumpiness, so quickly I'm right back up, and it's like, you know what, you don't have to have a reason to laugh.
Yeah.
Let's face it, life in and of itself is absurd enough that we should be literally laughing every single moment of every day.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I have that little voice too that checks in and right. says, what the heck is wrong with you? You are miserable. Not miserable. And then I can see my little inner child pouting. And
yeah.
And so to be able to check in and say, okay, and then you have a laugh, you're able to even laugh at yourself. When I see that grumpy little inner child and I say, okay, I see you, I've been neglecting you, but then I have to have a laugh and say,
yeah, it's okay.
What am I resisting?
Yeah. Good thing.
Is this going to matter in 5 minutes, in 5 years? Is this how I want to live? Yeah,
that's a really good point. Yeah, can we even remember, you know, what it was that was bugging us?
I've enjoyed this conversation so much. I could literally speak to you for hours, and I'm grateful for your time. Can you share with our listeners where they can come and learn more about you?
I have a Facebook page on, you know, good old Facebook. I have an Instagram account as well, where I plant my little seeds of wisdom. And I have a website. Presumably you're going to put my name in the thank you. There are not that many SAS Tets laughs in the world. So even if you can't sort of remember, what was her name of her? Seriously, look up SAS Tets laugh. There aren't that many of me, and you'll be guided to find me. And if people want to reach out and connect with me, I would absolutely love that. The more of us that are thinking in this vibration, like you and I, then the more we can heal this planet. And thank you ever so much for having me on today. I am so grateful. Thank you.
That was well said. All of your information will be in the show notes. Please go encourage this beautiful soul. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.